your show. You bring up whatever you want. Toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line tonight. It is Ian with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online. Freetalklive.com is the place to go. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. We're going to go right to your phone calls and talk to Brody in Utah. Brody, you're on the AMP line. Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, I just was wanting to call in and add some more comments to your discussion that you were having Saturday about drinking and driving.
Sure.
Now, I want to make sure I'm clear on your positions. Now, I think Mark was for laws against drinking and driving, and Ian, I thought you were kind of on the fence.
To clarify my point, what I was saying is that I agree with Mark Crivelli from LouRockwell.com, who was pointing out that the current governmental system of enforcement and laws that have to do with drinking and driving are actually making the problem worse. They're encouraging more people to drink and drive. They're encouraging people to do it in a more, even a more dangerous fashion. And I think that those laws need to go away. I think that if you want to have a road law, if there needs to be a government, and which I don't think there should be, but if there is going to be a small government, then I think that it's sufficient to simply say that dangerous driving should be what is against the law. You know, whether that's being drunk or whether it's being tired or, you know, not looking at the road. I mean, anything that would cause you to drive dangerously is, I think, the issue.
Okay. Well, just a couple points that I wanted to add to the debate or discussion. First of all, drinking and driving involves no victim.
That's right.
As such, anyone that's pro drinking and driving laws has to impose some kind of arbitrary punishment on these people. And as to what that punishment should be, it's impossible to decide since there's no victim to claim there needs to be restitution.
Mm-hmm.
To control the behavior, really, you would have to impose a $100,000 fine or 5 years in jail or even death, and that would probably eliminate the crime almost completely.
Oh,
I don't know about
so.
That.
No.
I mean, there's really not a lot of evidence that that arduous penalties,
punitive,
you know, actually do much to stop the behavior. But
okay.
Go ahead.
I mean, if that were true, then people wouldn't be dealing drugs in the countries in which that drug dealing brings death.
I would give you that. I would grant you that. I think the higher the penalty would – I think there's probably some good evidence that it would reduce the behavior maybe.
The DUI penalties are pretty draconian today. If you get more than one – first of all, one DUI is pretty awful to one's life's record as far as just being able to move ahead and have, you know, something clean on your record. But then more than one DUI is really bad. I mean, things get pretty destructive. They take away driver's licenses. Sometimes you'll get taken away your driver's license in the first place, which just makes life a whole lot more difficult for the person who was drinking and driving. Punitive fines, incarceration. It's pretty heavy duty right now, and you still have people getting their third, fourth, fifth DUI. And, of course, it keeps getting worse the more that the more you get.
Okay. Yeah, and that's true. My main point is that it has to be – it's an arbitrary punishment given that there's no victim. And I would think as a principled libertarian, libertarians would be against any kind of victimless crimes. But the other point I really would rather really wanted to talk about is the statistics used by the uneducated mothers against drunk driving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have ever looked at them, but they talk about – pretty much how many people who are have alcohol in their system and get an accident. Well, if you have 60% of the population who are white, you know, Caucasian, and driving, you would expect 60% of accidents to involve whites.
Yeah, you would.
So, you know, does that mean we should make driving and whites illegal? Obviously not. The other thing that they don't account for in their statistics is they just say how many people with alcohol in their systems get into accidents. They don't differentiate between whether they're the victim or the actual one to cause the accident.
Yeah, that's correct. You could have, and you're right, it's a very sneaky tactic on their part, and it really just belies the entire organization as a bunch of dishonest thugs. And basically, if you've got a carload of kids, let's say 21 or 20-year-olds, they've all been out drinking, yours completely sober, you drive them home, somebody else is drunk, and or somebody else is sober and you just happen to get into an accident. So two sober drivers getting into an
alcohol
accident.
Alcohol was involved.
Yeah, alcohol is involved in that, and so therefore it would be counted in their statistics.
Exactly. So in reality, there is no causal evidence to suggest that drinking and driving increases one's chance of causing an accident.
Well, wait a minute. I don't know about that. I mean, it depends on how much you drink. I mean, if you go out and you drink six beers, I'm going to say that there's a real good chance you're more likely to have an accident.
Ah, but see, that's the fallacy right there, because people who go out and drink six beers or let's say 10 beers, they're going to be driving 20 miles an hour, and they usually have both their hands on the steering wheel, and they're trying to drive as fast.
Well, I think it all depends. Mark made this point last night, and he was absolutely right. It depends on who you're talking about. I mean, there is a very good chance that the person you're talking about, instead of driving very carefully, well, that's an option. Somebody who may be well aware of where they are with the amount of drinks they have in them and how inebriated they are may be very, very cautious. I believe that is possible, and we don't know how many people would act one way versus another, but there's another completely different way they could be acting, and that is pedal to the metal. Woohoo!
Yeah.
That kind of drunk.
Yeah, I mean,
Don't pretend it's not out there.
Oh, wait, before you go on, I mean, a guy who has some alcohol in him could probably say to himself, you know, I'm a little short-tempered when I have alcohol, so perhaps I should keep my mouth shut in front of strangers and not pick bar fights. However, the fact is, we all know that some people, when they get drunk, go out and want to get in a fight.
But again, that's all hypothetical.
No, it's not.
It's the kind of empirical data that you shouldn't just sweep under the rug, because people think that what you're trying to do is support behavior that they don't. That's obvious to
that's,
them.
I'm sorry.
You should not just. I understand where you're coming from in looking at the particular figures that you're looking at. You're right from the standpoint of a scientific analysis of those particular figures. However, what you sound like is a maniac.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, first of all, it's not hypothetical at all. I mean, I've been biking while inebriated a little bit, and I'm a little more reckless when it comes to riding my bicycle. So, I mean, I'm aware at least of how reckless I am, but it's fun to go a little fast and that sort of thing. So I can understand that there would definitely be the type of drinker out there who would be absolutely having himself a little joyride in his car. What the percentage is, I don't know, but to brush that aside, Brody, is pretty dishonest, I think.
No, but it's not, because using your same argument, you could suggest that men are more aggressive, and therefore we should make it illegal for men to drive.
Because, but I haven't suggested anything like that.
I'm not using that terminology.
Maybe playing a video game and get all pumped up on adrenaline, and I get out on the road and throw on some loud music and start, you know, driving recklessly. When I say hypothetical, I mean there is no causal evidence to suggest that across the board that people who drink and drive have more of a chance of causing an accident. So there's no way that it can be proven that it's more likely to occur. That's all I'm saying.
It would depend on the individual. So you're right. Across the board, not the case. But to say it's hypothetical that somebody's going to get out there, woo! Yeah. And just pedal to the metal, screaming around corners.
All you have to do is go out on Friday night.
Yeah.
You'll find them.
At the drunks, you know?
You will find
talk
them.
Some,
go out on amateur night and take a look around.
Right. So what you're saying is it's not across the board that people would behave that way. You'd be correct about that. But there are people that behave that way, whether it's 5% or 20%. And
yeah,
I'm not saying...
But there are people that behave that way regardless of whether they're...
That's fine. That's why I'm saying that it's driving dangerously that should be what's outlawed.
But why should driving dangerously be outlawed unless you're...
Because it's my road, Brody, and I don't want dangerous drivers on my road.
But what if I'm driving down a road that's in the middle of nowhere and I'm weaving all around and there's nobody around? Who cares?
Well, then no one's going to know, right? So who cares?
Hold on, Brody. Here's my question to you. Is it, if I pull a gun out and I stick it right in your face and I pull the trigger and it goes click, have I committed a crime?
Ah, but see, I knew you were going to bring that up. Because now you are threatening someone.
If I'm driving a car straight at you, Brody?
Hang on, Brody.
800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. I'm not targeting drunk drivers here. I think it's dangerous drivers that are the problem. And if you're out in the middle of nowhere... Tear it up, man. Who cares? No one's around.
No
more coming
up.
It's Free Talk Live. This is Ian. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? You should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearms training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapon permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time. You and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes. And the Millionaire Patriot is paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapon permit for pennies on the dollar and get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun. Again, that's frontsight.com.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grapeseed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and FreeTalkLive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
Your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. Just dial in toll free 800-259-9231. Take control of the airwaves, 800-259-9231. It's Ian with you.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. We have archives. So if you've missed a moment of the show, just click and download. They're right there on the front page of the website for your downloading convenience at freetalklive.com. And audible.com is the Internet's leading provider of spoken audio entertainment. Listen whenever and wherever you want, just like a podcast. Audible has over 60,000 titles from which to choose, and in every genre, Audible has it covered. Get your free audiobook download when you sign up today at audiblepodcast.com. /FTL. You need that /FTL in there. AudiblePodcast.com/FTL for your free audio book. Brody called in from Utah to start things out here tonight with continue the discussion from Saturday night's talk about drunk driving and how I think that it should be, well, first of all, I think roads should be owned privately, and I think private road owners should be able to set whatever kind of rules they want. But if I owned a road, I wouldn't want dangerous drivers on my road. I wouldn't want dangerous drivers putting other drivers in jeopardy. So I don't care if you're drunk or if you're tired or what your deal is. If you're not safe, that's when I have an issue. So, Brody, I'm not trying to say that people who've been drinking should stay off the roads. I think you're right that there are people who can drink and who can drive safely. I think there are people that can drink, be a little inebriated, and realize and compensate, slow down, as you were suggesting, and drive safer. Of course, in the current world, the police will pull you over if you're going too slow. So, again, that kind of encourages people to go quickly. And, of course, you can't sleep in your car. Well, that encourages people to get in, actually drive instead of just sleeping it off. So we've got some real problems with the existing system. But I'm not saying that drinking and driving should be illegal. You were trying to make a point, though, when we went to break.
Okay. Yeah, and I think I understand your position more. I think there's just a definition of dangerous that you were using.
Yes, my definition is arbitrary.
Well, no. I think what your definition of dangerous is if you are endangering other people.
Yes.
What you're saying, and I would agree with that. And addressing Mark's point, well, you know, pointing a gun at someone and pulling the trigger and it not clicking or not firing, well, that is obviously involving a victim. And if someone's drinking and driving and swerving around the road and swerving into other people that are driving, you know, not necessarily hitting them, but they have to move, then that's obviously there's victims in that scenario. And so I would
it doesn't matter if there are victims in that scenario. What you're saying is that there are people that are being threatened, but
exactly.
That doesn't matter. For me as the road owner, I don't want there necessarily to have to be someone around for me to be able to stop someone who's obviously dangerous. I mean, even if it's my road and there's only one guy on it at that time and he's weaving all over the place, I'm going to say, hey, I don't want that kind of behavior here because, you know, 20 feet later, there could be somebody else pulling onto the road and being put in jeopardy at that point. But if it's your road and you want to go crazy and there's nobody around, then right on.
Right. And in that scenario, I think I definitely think property owners are going to make their own rules. And if they want to kick someone off their property that they think's dangerous, then I don't think there's any problem with that.
Okay. Anything else on your mind tonight, Brody?
Nah, that would be it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. Good discussion. We continue with Steve in British Columbia. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Steve. Steve, British Columbia, going once. Steve in BC going twice. We'll try Ziggy.
Hi, guys. Oh, yeah, I just
hey, Steve.
Your line just transferred me to you. How are you guys doing?
Just good. What's on your mind?
I was calling to carry on a conversation that you guys were having a few weeks ago about persuasion, persuading people to the liberty mindset.
Yes.
Just to recap what had happened a couple of weeks ago, you were talking to a caller in particular about, I believe, Ian, you were talking to a caller in particular about this caller had encountered somebody who said that government is the best way to help poor people, and they engaged in what the caller called an argument. And you said it's best to not approach it as an argument, but rather try to persuade the person and find common ground that you can agree on first.
Yes.
Before you proceed. And for something like that, it might be best to say, from a liberty mindset, to say to the person who's in favor of government helping the poor, to say to them, well, listen, if I could convince you that the free market system is the best way to help the homeless, would you then agree with me that a free market system is better and preferable? And if the person won't even agree to that, then they're not worth engaging in with debate. They're being stubborn. They're being narrow-minded. Did I recap that correctly?
It's close to what I said, yeah.
Okay. My question then to you, Ian, is if I could convince you that a government socialist system is the best way to help poor people, and I could convince you of that point, would you then change your mind and think that socialism is fantastic?
You would have to convince me that it's somehow morally acceptable to initiate force on people in order for me to come around to that.
Well, forgetting about the morality of it, just that it would be better off for poor people.
I can't forget about the morality of it because that's the core issue.
Right. If you in this case where you're talking about convincing someone that you know they stated that their issue is helping poor people, and so you're addressing their issue. Ian is stating that the issue that he wishes to address is not about the poor people, but about the morality of initiating force.
And to that question, if you're going to ask me, well, if I could show you that it's right to initiate force or that it's you know, more efficacious to initiate force, I would tell you that I don't care. You know, whatever you're going to show me at that point, I'm not interested because I don't want to initiate force. I don't want to aggress against my peaceful neighbors. So we wouldn't be able to go any further with that conversation if you were trying to persuade me to drop the ideas of liberty and embrace the ideas of aggression.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, yes, I'm a bit intolerant of aggression. I guess you could say that.
Understandable.
Any other thoughts tonight?
No, that's all as it happens. There's no way for me to convince you that the socialist system is a better way to help the poor people, because it's not. It was just a devil's advocate question.
Yep.
That's all.
Very good, sir. Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing
from you.
Thank you. Yep, 800-259-9231. In fact, I got the latest episode, or I guess edition, rather, of the Liberator Online, which is a publication that comes out, I think, every other week from the Advocates for Self-Government at theadvocates.org. That's their website. Sharon Harris, whom we've had on this program in the past, is one of the regular contributors as the president of the Advocates for Self-Government. And she actually talks about one of the many excellent persuasive techniques that you'll find in, I think it's Michael Cloud's book that really outlines a lot of these things. And it's called the Ransberger Pivot. And I'll tell you more about it coming up here. Let's go to first, though, to Ziggy in the UK. You're on Free Talk Live. Ziggy.
Hi guys. It was when Gavin, my mate Gavin, suggested that drink driving should be incorporated into one law. Dangerous driving, he got into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember.
Oh yeah, it's not very politically popular to suggest.
No, it's not
such things.
Anyways, I have news on Gavin.
Yes.
Gavin has become a member of the Libertarian Party here, and because in our political system you can basically cross the aisle without having to get re-elected, he has become now the Libertarian Party's first elected official.
Right, because your friend is a city councillor or selectman or whatever they're called over there, right?
Yeah, he's a city councillor.
Well, congratulations to the LP. It sounds like they've managed to do something that I think the American LP, I don't know if they've successfully elected a city councillor yet. Thanks, Ziggy, for the call tonight.
I haven't elected him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, he was already, I don't really know what the situation is, but I thank you for the call. We're going to move on. More on the way here. You take control. 800-259-9231. It's Free Talk Live.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, RMApply.com has a message that is vitally important for you and your family. Did you know that you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM benefits? Visit RMApply.com and apply for free to see how much you are entitled to. Right now, people just like you are taking advantage of their benefits and using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, and support this show's sponsors. You may be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's your money, and you're entitled to it. Apply for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Or call them today for a free no-obligation evaluation to see how much you qualify for. Call 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155 today.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Bring up whatever you want. Dial in toll free, 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll free line. Tonight it's Ian with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features are free. They include archives. If you've missed a moment, you can just click and download. Front page of the website, freetalklive.com.
Right now, Jason Osborne and a crew of Liberty Lovers are out in the woods in Michigan filming their new zombie movie that's being put out by Think Twice News at thinktwicenews.com. And, it should be an exciting time up there, and I'm kind of wishing I could be there with them. But
you could have. Yeah, but, you want to take a week off from work.
That's really the issue. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Jason Osborne's the main sponsor of the show, and his company, SACL CAI, if you need help with collections, they do it. They're the top banner at freetalklive.com on the right-hand side.
Yes, indeed. We continue with your calls to Cameron in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live on the Amp Line. Hello, Cameron.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
What's happening? What's on your mind?
No, not too much. I wanted to call to ask you and maybe your listeners for a little bit of advice.
Certainly.
I went to school for film and video. That's the industry I work in. And, you know, I live in Philadelphia. I've called in before. I graduated about 3 years ago, and I worked full-time for about a year and a half until beginning of last year. And I lost my job because, you know, the economy wasn't great, and we were real slow and such. And I kind of took a lot of time afterwards and looked for full-time. I was really, a lot of people I know do freelance work because that's big in the film industry. Anywhere you go is freelance work. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted full-time, and I really took my time, and I kept looking, and I had one interview and no luck. And then I went through a time where I had some personal problems, and I kind of didn't really look for jobs. And then I finally came around to doing it again, and I was like, it's time to freelance. So at the end of last year, I did all kinds of freelance. I was getting by. I was making good money. And this year came, and, you know, this economy, it's just dead again. And, you know, every time I've figured I'm pretty down and out, I get just enough freelance work to keep me going again. But I'm at the point now where I'm looking for full-time in video or in anything else. And, you know, I'm looking even to be like, you know, a regular job to be a waiter or something. I've just started a job as a cook at a restaurant I know. And I'm just having really bad luck looking for a job. And I don't know if you guys or anyone out there has any advice. I mean, I applied to a job to work at a food service place, and they didn't hire me. And, you know, I was wondering why. My mother, who owns food service place, said, well, you know, they saw you had a college degree and worked in another industry, and they probably know the minute you get a job in the industry, you're going to be gone. They don't want to hire you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, damned if I do, damned if I don't. Because I have the experience, it's hard to get regular
jobs. Well, maybe you
and,
should dumb your application down a little bit. Maybe you should just not put down that you've been to school if you're trying to get a job like that. So are you asking for help in finding video work? Because you're probably going to know more about that.
Just any advice in finding a job. You know, it's like at this point in this economy, and you know, working. You know, I would like to take more classes and learn more aspects of video or something else.
Well, there's
some
no brainer kind of basics here that I guess maybe for some people aren't so basic. I'm not saying you aren't aware of these things, but for our listeners' sake, Mark, let's just go through some basics of job applications. What's going to set you out above and beyond the other applicants? Because right now, Julia, for instance, my girlfriend works at a restaurant chain, and they are getting so many applications. They really do get to pick the cream of the crop because there are a lot of people that are competing for it. So you've got to set yourself above and beyond. One of the ways, of course, is to look sharp. You know, don't come in looking, you know, wearing jeans or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Take those pieces of metal out of your face.
That's one, too.
I have no piercings. I wear...
Just saying. It's a general advice, man.
When I go to film job interviews, I wear full-on three-piece suit. When I go to other interviews, I try to, you know, I don't want to dress too fancy, but I dress the part.
You have a vest?
What's that?
You have a vest?
Yeah, I do have a three-piece suit, actually.
You've got to be kidding me. Don't wear a three-piece suit.
Okay.
Unless these people want to hire their grandfather.
bring your own pen. This is one I didn't know when I was younger.
Yeah, bring your pen, man.
That's one I didn't know, and that shows that you're prepared for the interview. You don't have to ask the interviewer or the HR person, human resources person, for a pen. Let's see. So look sharp, cover up your tattoos, take the metal out of your face, bring a pen.
When they ask you the question, what do you think is your worst quality as an employee? Say that perhaps you're a bit too impetuous. You might be more likely to take action than to sit around and wait for orders.
That sounds about right.
Follow up once you've actually put the applications in, give them a little bit of time. I don't know what the appropriate amount of time is, maybe a week, something like that, and then call them back, or better yet, go back in and show your face again to whoever it is that you'd applied to, and that way they know that you think that their job is important enough. And
thank you notes. After the interview, go directly to the store. It doesn't matter. Go to Walmart where you can get the 50-cent cards
as
or whatever.
As if you get an interview?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Thank you cards.
Yep. After the interview, take the person's business card, fill it out, look at the, make sure you get the address exactly right, send it on there, send the card off to them, and because they're not going to get another thank you card.
It's true. Now, I've been sending those. One piece of advice I'll give everyone else out there that I did learn, it's good to follow up, just don't follow up too much.
Sometimes I have followed up, and been scolded for my following up. However, it was for a sales job, and I'm just not going to be scolded for following up too often on a sales job.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Scold me all you wish. That's my job to get scolded.
So I can't say that I'm an expert at this because I've only had two jobs in my entire life. I'm not. But I do know that those are some of the basics. And let's throw the question out there to you, the listener. If you want to add into this conversation, 800-259-9231. What would be particularly valuable is if you do hiring. Are you a human resources person at your workplace? Do you see different people coming in and applying for jobs? And what works? What works with you? What is it that's persuasive with you for the position that you're looking to fill? That is something I'd love to hear tonight at 800-259-9231. And also just tips from people that have had a lot of experience applying for and successfully getting jobs. So what are we missing? I'm sure we're missing some obvious stuff.
I think that in this economy, my opinion would be canvassing. I would have my resume put out in all these different places, filling out applications, things like that.
Don't just hit two places per day. Hit every place all day long that you possibly can.
I can feel your pain on this one. I wouldn't dumb down my resume at all. I personally would tell them everything that is going on with me. But
if he's been rejected explicitly
I understand. I get it.
I mean, nobody said that. But like I said, my mom works in the restaurant industry too. And, of course, she's kind of like, well, same thing. If someone comes into me with a college degree and they're working in another industry, I don't hire them because I know – the minute they get that job, they're out.
Sure, it's probably
illegal for them to say that.
In the dog-eat-dog huge world of the film industry in Philadelphia, for God's sakes, if I'm hiring food service,
I've looked. I have friends in New York. I apply in New York. I use their address because if you don't live in New York, they don't want to hear from you. So I use the New York address, and still it's like I've got a couple interviews there, but still it's like. Yeah, I mean, anywhere you go, the film industry is tough, but especially, you know, in Philadelphia, it's smaller than most places, but in New York, it's not too far, but in New York, everybody's there, so it's like...
If you're willing to wait tables, man, pound those resumes out, you know, fill out applications. Somebody's going to hire you.
Yeah.
I refuse to... I understand that maybe you filled out a couple and it didn't work out, but it is a down economy, and they do have a lot of people applying.
People are still going out to eat. I mean, whether you can get a waiting job or a job at food service in just some way, those are jobs that have high turnover rates. I mean, you look at any restaurant, you're going to see those servers turn over. Most of them are probably going to turn over within a year, and that's just based on my rare, my experience in just being somebody that knows some restaurateurs.
And I've talked to restaurants with people I know, and you know, same thing. They turn over so quick. The problem is, the only experience I have is as a busboy like 10 years ago. So.
But you don't need a lot of you don't need a lot of experience. I mean,
The wait tables is all it is attitude.
Unless you're going for some sort of hoity-toity restaurant where the check is going to be $50 per person at the table, that's the kind of place that's going to be very, very selective about who they hire. If you're just going to work at Friendly's or something like that, some chain place, they're not really going to care that much.
And let me put this one other question to you guys out there. I've obviously, I subscribe to the same beliefs that you guys do, and I'm good friends with, Adam in New York, who wants to move to New Hampshire eventually. What's the job market like in New Hampshire at all for any industry? I mean, I've considered that. Like, maybe I'll just get a job in New Hampshire and move to the free state.
I hear it's better, and I don't know too much about it, and that's all I can say is...
Right, we're not looking for jobs up here, so we don't personally have the experience with it, but there are plenty of food service, the regular retail/food service jobs are aplenty up here. There's supposedly a lot of tech jobs in the Nashua and that kind of more populated area. So the economy in New Hampshire is much stronger than the rest of New England, there's no doubt about that. Good luck out there, and thanks. If you've got tips for Cameron, dial in. It's Free Talk Live.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
Dial in toll-free, 1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. Tonight, Ian with you.
And Mark.
Inviting you to our website. And if you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. You just enter Amazon through that link and you'll know where you are. It's the world's largest internet retailer. You'll see the great prices, the free Super Saver shipping, everything you're familiar with. It's the same great Amazon. It's just that you're entering through our little portal, amazon.freetalklive.com. And when you do that, Free Talk Live will get a percentage of anything that you buy, even if it's used. So get your shopping done. Get the stuff that you need for life and the stuff you want, too, at amazon.freetalklive.com. So Cameron had called in from Pennsylvania. He's having a tough time finding work. He's a film major, and it, I guess, work's drying up there because of the economy, and so he's decided that it's time to break down and take whatever. So he's even applying at food service positions. And
right, and I've got to say, you know, kudos to him for doing it. You know, it's great to get a job in the industry that you want to. If you get a job that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. However, you got to step up and get the job. Sitting around mom's house or whatever it is that one might do, you know, it's just not cool. You've got to have work.
So he was asking for some tips as far as how to make this process a little bit more effective, how to increase his likelihood of getting a job, and because he's been striking out so far. And so we kind of went down some basics. And if you've got some ideas, would love to have you add them in here. Perhaps you work in human resources, or perhaps you've just, you know, had some experience and success at applying for jobs. Would love to hear from you at 800-259-9231. But, you know, some of the basics that we went over was looking sharp, bring your own pen. What else, Mark? Look sharp, bring your own pen. You want to follow up on the applications.
Send thank you notes.
Send thank you notes, that's one. And so I was talking with Julia during the break to see what she would say as somebody who actually does hiring. She says the first two things she looks for are experience and availability. So in a low-level kind of anybody job, experience certainly is going to put you above somebody else, but if you've got availability, that could be a big factor. And she said that was pretty important to her. She said if you come in and you say you can only work from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, you're probably not going to get a phone call. You know, you want to be available whenever that particular company needs you to work. If you need a job that bad, you need to have the availability that will be flexible enough for them to look at you as an option.
Yeah, you know, if all things remain equal between two applicants and one of them is available between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and the other one says, hey, I'll take the job anytime, I'll go anywhere I need to be.
Weekends, whatever.
Right, I'll work on holidays, it doesn't matter.
Overnights.
Which one are you going to hire?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can already tell that between the two applicants that, you know, one wants the job more than the other.
So, and here's another one. Something else she suggested was that you actually introduce yourself. So when you're going in to apply to get the application, instead of just getting it from whoever the kid is running the customer service counter or whatever, you ask for the manager, introduce yourself, and that way you're making that personal connection to when the manager is actually looking at the application, maybe they'll remember you. Something. It's an idea. 800-259-9231. So share your suggestions, your tips, if you've got them. Meantime, Sharon Harris at the Advocates for Self-Government is going to explain to us the Ransberger pivot. And I think we've talked about this particular technique in the past, but I didn't recall what the actual name for it was. We had someone call in earlier this hour talking about persuasion techniques, and there are different ones out there, and some of them are some of them are more effective than others in different circumstances. So take this and use it when you can, because it's a pretty good one. Sharon says, ouch! Libertarians sometimes get hit with hostile questions from people who don't understand the ideas of liberty and free markets. Mention free markets, ending the war on drugs, or replacing government schools with private alternatives, for example, and some people will go ballistic. They'll think you're crazy, or have evil intentions, or both, and they'll let you know it. End government welfare? Do you hate the poor? Make drugs legal? Do you want our streets filled with crazed addicts and criminals? No government schools? Do you want a nation of illiterates? Don't you care about our children? Sound familiar? It's easy for a conversation to quickly degenerate from here into a shouting match or a meaningless exchange of slogans and rhetoric. But there's a far better way to respond. Use the Ransberger pivot. The Ransberger pivot is one of the most effective communication tools I know. Invented in 1982 by Ray Ransberger and Advocates founder Marshall Fritz, the pivot is a great way to diffuse hostility and get the questioner on your side. The Ransberger pivot's quite simple, but it doesn't come naturally. It does take some practice, but the payoff makes it well worth the effort. There are three steps to the pivot. Step one, stay calm and listen to what the questioner is asking. And just good listening is something worth practicing on its own. Just step one on its own, good listening is something worth practicing. This is one of those things they don't teach you in government schools. That is, I think, very useful in life, whether it's getting a job or whether it's just communicating with your loved ones or your friends. Listening is very important. It's an art. It's a skill that that needs to be practiced, because a lot of times when someone is supposedly listening to you, they're really just thinking of what they're going to say next. And if you're busily thinking about what you're going to spew out of your mouth after the other person shuts theirs, you're not really listening. You know, you should be able to, after someone says something to you, you should be able to say it back to them. Something like, well, if I'm understanding you correctly, what you just said is blah, blah, blah. And then you basically rephrase in your own words what they'd said to you. And that shows to the person that you're listening to that you're actually paying attention. And if you get it wrong, that's okay. Maybe you'll miss a point. That means that you are at least doing your best to try to understand what they were saying to you. And by you recounting or recapping what they've said, even if you make a mistake in what your interpretation was, that allows them to say, no, 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 that's not what I meant. What I meant was this. So it allows them to identify where they may have miscommunicated or where you may have misheard and correct that information. So good listening, very important thing. Would you agree with that, Mark, as a salesman?
You absolutely need to do that. And that, you know, it shows people that you're, you know, mirroring them and care about them.
Step two of the Ransberger pivot, after you've stayed calm and listened to the questioner, ask yourself what the person is really concerned about. What does he really want? Make an intelligent guess. Step three, if you want the same thing, and 99% of the time you will, you know, whether it's helping the poor, helping kids that need educating, that sort of thing. Who doesn't want a clean environment, clean air, clean water? Who doesn't want kids to be educated? So this is what the issue is, right? This is what people want. It's just that they believe that government is the appropriate way to get
the
to
only
their goals.
Way.
Step three is, if you want the same thing, strongly express your desire for the same outcome. Show your questioner that you share the same core values on the issue. So here are a couple of examples of the Ransberger pivot in action. The questioner says, you libertarians want to get rid of public schools, don't you? What about our children? You ask yourself, what is this person really concerned about? What is it that he wants? Well, obviously, he wants children to be educated. That's a great goal. You want this too, don't you?
Yes.
So you respond something like this. Like you, I too want to live in a world where all children are educated. In fact, where children have access to a far better education than they have now.
Right. You can toss in the little statistic that that we've had on the air here recently, that 20% of students that graduate from public school graduate functionally illiterate. So it is, in fact, the government school is turning out one out of five students who can't really read. Can't we do that without government school?
And then you could ask one of those questions like our caller earlier was talking about. You can turn it right back into, well, if I could show you that, if I could show you a way to better educate kids than what we currently have, would you be interested in learning about that? Well, sure. But that the pivot is just to basically say you agree with what their goal is, and then you're expressing the desire for that same outcome, and then you go in the process of persuading them, hopefully, to your side. She says that instead of immediately launching into a disagreement, you bypassed a potential argument and instead established a strong common ground with your questioner, so therefore you found agreement and shared values. Now you can go on to a constructive discussion of the best ways to achieve the end you both agree is worthwhile. Of course, you then need to have a good answer to the question. You need to know the facts. In this case, a persuasive case for why the private sector offers the best opportunity to dramatically improve education. But the Ransberger pivot is a vital transition or a prelude to the actual answer. It plays a crucial role by diffusing hostility and thus making your questioner and other listeners more ready to hear your answer with an open mind. Remember, when people ask hostile questions, they often are questioning your motives. They assume you disagree with their concerns. They think that you have different values, and they may even believe you have bad intentions. The Ransberger pivots a kind of verbal judo or aikido. It takes the steam out of the hostility by demonstrating that you share the questioner's concerns. This, in turn, offers the opportunity for rapport. Your listeners are then more likely to pay attention to your answer, and you increase your chance of persuading them to your point of view.
And you also don't get stuck in that the mire of debates. Some people want to debate you. They don't care about what's right or what's wrong. They just want to debate.
You got better things to do.
Debates don't solve anything.
No doubt about it. So if you like that, there's more at theadvocates.org. I highly suggest their Liberator Online biweekly email. Hour 2's coming up. You bring up anything. Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by NestleFamily.com, where nourishing, healthy, happy families is filled with fun. Avoid worrying your child about foods she should and shouldn't eat when she visits friends by providing her with a healthy snack as a gift to the host. That way, she can decide to eat what you've sent without feeling isolated from the other kids. And if she decides not to eat it, that's okay too. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.